We're starting a new series as we begin this new year. The series is called Uphill Hopes and Downhill Habits. I'm excited about it because I believe that God does this in our lives, especially during this time of the year. There's something that about this time of the year that we naturally start thinking about changes that need to be made. It's why we create New Year's resolutions. It just almost comes naturally to us, like something needs to change for this new year. And I believe that God puts those things in our hearts because he has great things in store for us. Even though God readies our hearts for these new things, some people are not tuned in to hear God, and so they miss it. And then some people don't feel like they can actually change, and so they ignore it. Some actually don't care. They're just dead to it. They miss it completely. But then there are some that are absolutely ready for the journey of change. And I hope that that's you. I hope that as we go start this series in the next 5 weeks, including today, that we're going to look at some habits that need to be a part of our lives, or that can be a part of our lives, that would actually make some significant changes. Aristotle said that we are what we repeatedly do. And another way of saying that is this, and I think it's on your handout, you can write it down. We form habits and then our habits form us. We form habits and then our habits form us. The habits that we allow into our lives, they shape us for good and for bad. So I don't know how many of you have goals for 2019. A lot of time we come to the first of the year and then we have these great desires, great hopes, but we have no habits to shape those hopes. We have the hope, but we don't have any habits that shape those hopes. There's absolutely no structure that takes us in the direction that we want to go. So most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. That's important to know, this series. Most of us have uphill hopes and downhill habits. This is why when people create New Year's resolutions that they don't stick with them. There's no habits that reinforce it. There's no steps, as you were, or strategy to take us in the place that we desire to go. And hope is not a strategy. So if I ask you, what were the hopes that you have for this new year? I'm sure that you have some kind of aspirations of some kind. Something new that you might like to see in your life. But there has to be a strategy in place or steps for the change we want to see in this new behavior. One of the things that's critical even here at The Quest is, you know, part of our vision is we want to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. And that means that we're all a part of a growing relationship with Jesus. But a growing relationship with Jesus doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen just because we come to church. There has to be steps. So another fill-in is we need a strategy that changes and shapes our new daily behaviors. We need a strategy. Without a strategy, all we are left with is hopes. We have nothing that shapes the habits of our life. You know this, but what we're talking about in this series is not necessarily easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Most of the habits that people have in their life are downhill habits because downhill habits are the easy way to live our lives. It's the convenient way to live our lives. And the life that God calls us to, the life that God has for us, there's a challenge that's attached to it. It's doable, but it's still challenging, and it's uphill. But everything worthwhile is uphill. That's important to know. Everything worthwhile is uphill. I'm sure that when you hear the word uphill or you think about it that way, that sounds like too much work. But it's not work, it's just positive discipline. It's training that we need in our lives. And here's great news about this that we all need. God is present to help you. In all the change that you have going on, all the change that he wants to create in your life, regardless of what resolutions you want to make or what habits you want to form in your life, God is there to help you if you will allow him to help you. That's what in this series, we're going to take this journey, this new direction, if you will. But a lot of times with a new direction, we have excuses that keep us going in the old direction, and actually, excuses just keep us where we're at. I mean, we got here where we're at because of excuses. I know, like for me, I want to lose weight. But every time that comes up, I always have an excuse. Well, you know, I hurt my back. And because I hurt my back, I'm not able to be real active. And it's an excuse. And excuses always keep us right where we're at. So if we're up for the change of this new direction, if we're willing to go where God is leading us, then we need to deal with the obstacles of change. And the first one is this. We've got to identify the excuses that prevent us from change. You've got to identify the excuses. whatever they are in your life. Most of us have them. They might be fear, they might be doubt, they might be apathy. It could be many things. What are the excuses that you naturally go to that prevent the change that God wants to create in your life? And then what we have to do in removing these obstacles, we have to eliminate the excuses that keep us going downhill. Eliminate means to completely remove, to not tolerate them, to not allow them to be a part of your discussion. Completely remove and eliminate the excuses. It's to be intentional with that. We have to reshape our thoughts so the words "I can't" become eliminated in our lives. So we're going to need three things for this journey I want to look at. The first thing we need to look at is we need hope for the future. If you have no hope for the future, you'll never have room or you'll never move in the direction for change that you need in your life. Many people lose hope throughout the year, throughout their lives. They lose hope. And they say things like, "I can't change, my marriage can't change, my finances are beyond repair." And it's just, they've lost hope. It's not even an issue. It's just a natural no hope issue. There might be a lot going on in your life, and your challenges in your life might be great. You may not even feel like change is possible, but God, again, is with you. And you have to remember that. You remember the encounter that Jesus had with a woman at the well. Talked about that many times. Disciples are gone. They're getting food or something. Jesus is left alone, and he meets this woman from Samaria. And so he strikes up this conversation with her. And to make a long story short, Jesus offers her real life change. But she kind of is stuck with an excuse. She's stuck in the past. She's stuck with our fathers and the change that they would help her bring. And Jesus says this, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink and I would give you fresh living water." And what Jesus is saying, if you only knew who you were talking to, I am the only one that can give you real lasting life change. There's always hope when we walk with God. We need hope. You know this verse, we've used it quite a bit. It's Jeremiah 29:11, that God says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God always has hope attached to our future. Here's another thing that we're going to need for this journey, is we're going to need repentance from our past. Another way of saying that, and I think I included this in your notes to fill it in because I think I like it better, but repentance for your past is important. But another way of saying it is we need correction in our direction. I don't know what direction your life is going, but most of us, if we're going to have lasting habits that are going to bring positive change, then we've got to have a correction in our direction. The book of Matthew says that it says, "Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." Prove by the way that you live. That's what it means to have repentance in our lives. Repentance is this. If we're going in this direction and we repent, we intentionally make a choice and we turn and go the opposite direction. We make a correction in the direction that we're headed. So I don't know what it is in your life that needs a correction. But listen, that's what repentance is all about. When Jesus calls us to repentance, it's, hey, I was living my life this way, away from God, and now I'm going to choose and intentionally turn and go in this direction and follow God. It's a choice that we make. And I think we all have areas in our lives where we need a correction in our direction, where we say, this is not going to be a part of my life anymore. If you're a part of recovery, or you know someone that is, you might be familiar with this illustration that's used. It's my life in 5 chapters. And the chapter one is, I went for a walk and I fell into a deep dark hole and it took me a long time to get out. Chapter two, I went for a walk and I fell into the same deep dark hole and it took me a long time to get out. Chapter three, I went for a walk and this time I saw the hole but I got too close and I slipped in and it took me a long time to get out. Chapter four, I went for a walk and I saw the hole and this time I decided to walk around the hole. And chapter 5, I went for a walk, and this time I took another path. And at some point, we have to decide that another path is needed in our life. Some of you, you might be living in chapter 4, and you're saying, you know what, I took this long walk, and I kept falling in, but now I'm walking around the hole, I'm walking around it, and I'm going to say, no, that's not where you want to live. Where you want to live is you want another path. So that there is no hole to fall into. We need a correction in our direction. Paul said it this way. He said, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." In other words, he's making a correction in his direction. So we need to have hope, and we need to have this repentance or a correction in our direction. And the third thing we need is we need a formation of uphill habits. Or we need a formation of biblical habits in our lives. Habits that make us more Christ-like. The change that God calls us to is to be changed into the image of his son, Jesus. That's what Romans 8:29 is all about. But God wants to form in us uphill habits. God is working on you, creating in you uphill habits. Biblical habits that he wants to be a part of your life. Romans 12:2 tells us to fix our attention on God that will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants you to do and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out in you and he develops well-formed maturity in you. Think about that. While the culture is bringing out the worst in you, God is bringing out the best in you. God wants to develop in you well-formed maturity. He wants in your life and in my life a formation of uphill habits. I don't know about you, but man, I would love to look back next year at my life and to not even recognize the person that I am because of the change that I've allowed God to do in me. So the first uphill habit that I'm looking at and we're looking at today as we wrap this up for 2019, habit number one is this. We want to come as close to God as we can. We want to come as close as we can to God. Think about how your life would be different. Think about how your life would change with this one habit in your life. Think about it. How different would your life look if this one habit of I want to be as close to God as I can, if that one habit was a part of your life? You might be thinking, wait, Dave, God said he'll never leave us. And we can read it. It's found in Hebrews 13. God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So if God never leaves us, then we're always close to him, right? That's kind of our logic of thinking. God, it's true, never leaves us. But here's the issue that we've got to understand. In our hearts, we can come close to him, and we can even wander away from him. We can, in our hearts, connect with God and disconnect from God. That's what the ability that we have. There are some Christ followers that seem to want to see how far from God they can be. Not that they want to be far from God, far away from God. It's like, how far can I be and still be okay? Or what can I, how far can I be and get away with this? And it's okay with God if I'm this far away. What can I do and still get away from God but not be on his bad list? A true Christ follower sees how close they can get, not how far away they can get. That's the nature of the relationship that God has called all of us to, is a relationship that is close. He created you to be close to you. James 4:8 tells us this, come close to God and God will come close to you. David says in the scripture we looked at earlier, he says, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. Because most of us want God's protection. We want to be safe. God becomes your protection as you come close to him. Can I please say that again so you don't miss it? A lot of times what we want is we want to live our lives however we want to live it, and we expect because God loves us so much that God's just going to take care of us and God's going to be our shelter. We all want his protection. You want God's protection that happens in you drawing close to him. He loves you. That's not the issue, but he wants you to love him. That is the nature of a relationship. You know what it's like if you get married and you love this person so much and they say, you know what? Hey, listen, I love the wedding and all that, but you know what? I'm still gonna play the field a little bit. I'm sure that's all right with you. Like, no, it's not all right. And it's not all right in our relationship with God. God says, hey, I'm coming close, but I need you to come close as well. So coming close to God means this, that we're all in. When you come close to God, it means that you're all in, not partially committed, not somewhat committed, but fully devoted to God. There's a pastor named Mark Batterson. I like what he said about it. He said, the gospel costs us nothing. The good news that Jesus gives, that God loves us, that Jesus died on the cross for you, the good news, that costs you nothing, but it demands everything. Costs you nothing, but demands everything. We have to be all in. I want to go back to that scripture we looked at just a moment ago. I want to finish reading it. It's out of James 4:8. It tells us this: come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, is what it continues with. And then it says this: purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. It's a pretty pointed scripture for us. We'll never draw close to God when our loyalty is divided between God and the world. We're one of many churches in this area that intentionally set aside the first part of the year to draw close to God. Not that we don't draw close to God all throughout the year, but we always have set aside the first part of the year to intentionally make God our priority, to intentionally connect with God. And a couple of things that we do that bring us closer to God is, first of all, prayer that connects us to God. It's where we intentionally spend time with God, talking to God, connecting with God, sharing our hearts with God, spending time with Him. Prayer is the difference between the best we can do and making contact with the best that God can do. In fact, I love this quote, but it's, ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. It's a great statement. The transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. Another thing we do in coming close to God is fasting that disconnects us from the world. So we have prayer that connects us to God, but the other part of this equation is fasting that disconnects us from the world. It forces us not to listen to our flesh or to give in to our flesh. What comes naturally to us, what we want. Fasting denies ourselves something that is important so that we can devote time to God. And what happens if fasting makes our spirit more in tune with God's spirit? Because our bodies, we're kind of naturally tuned into the world. We're naturally tuned into this culture. You think about it. Think about how you process what is right and what is wrong. How you process what is good and what is bad. Do you process that with scripture or do you process that with the popular opinion in our world? And that's important for us to understand because we need to be in tune with God's spirit. So what we encourage people is that you would join us. We spend 21 days during January, the 6th through the 27th. It starts on the 6th. But this is where we spend time praying and fasting. And if you're going to establish this first habit in your life for a new direction that God has for you, the way that we do that is we through this prayer and fasting. And we do this. We make God our priority. I mean, you might feel like God is a priority, but again, what are the steps that show that God is a priority? What are you doing that allows a greater connection with God, and what are you doing that disconnects you from the world? Make God your priority. Another one is have a purpose for your fast. Understand that you're fasting to come close to God, not to manipulate God and not to impress God. In fact, prayer and fasting doesn't change God. It changes you and me. That's important to know. Prayer and fasting doesn't elevate us. It humbles us. That's a big difference. It's not about us elevating ourselves or us working our way to impress God. This is about coming to God and saying, man, you know what? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve your kindness. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your help. I don't deserve your power in my life, but I desperately need it. See, another thing we need is we need to decide what we're going to do. What kind of fast are you going to do? What kind of fast are you going to be a part of? There's all different kinds. There's some people that fast food. There's some people that fast a meal a day. There's some people that fast social media or television. There's a lot of different things that you can fast. But the idea is it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be something that you're intentionally doing so that you can devote more time to connecting with God. And the other thing that we do in this is we expect results. Hebrews 11 tells us, anyone who wants to come to Him, to God, must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. And that is a part of our faith. It's one thing for us to say, you know, I'm going to come close to God. But the other part is when we come close to God, we've got to know that God rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Here's the thing that's important. We're not looking for change that we can make with willpower. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for change that God will make in us through His power. It's a big difference. We oftentimes look at New Year's resolutions as a willpower issue, but when we're looking at habits that create a life that leads us closer to God, then we need something that's dependent on His power in our lives. We need God, we need His strength, we need His hope, and we need His power. So Hebrews 10 says this, "Let us come near to God with sincere heart and sure faith." It doesn't get any much simpler than that. I think we start with a very important and significant habit that we need to bring into our lives. Come as close to God as you can. The easy way just gets by with the least amount that I can. And God says, man, I created you for an intimate relationship. I created you for so much more. I want to be close to you. God wants to be close to you, but we've got to also come close to Him. I'd like you to close your eyes, just if you would. We need steps, right? We need some kind of steps, some kind of strategy that's going to keep us going in this direction. Maybe you say, you know, you're here, and that's a good thing, and you're proud of yourself for being here, and I'm proud of you too. But what's your strategy? What are the steps that's going to take you further? I would say, what if you made a commitment to this one-year journey with us? 1 year. What can God do in your life in 1 year? And you're going to attend church faithfully. Maybe you get into a connection group. Maybe it starts with taking this fast seriously, and you join in and you be a part of it. Maybe it's getting on a team, serving people. Maybe it's taking a step in giving to God. What if you were to commit yourself to a growing relationship with Jesus? Man, how much different would our lives be if we made that kind of commitment? Listen, God's not speaking to you right now to make you feel guilty or anything. You've got to understand this. What God wants from you is He wants this intimate, He wants the best for you. And He wants this intimate relationship. But sometimes our loyalty is divided with the world. This is just a great time of the year, a great day of the year, as the new year begins to say, okay, I want to start with some new habits in my life, and there's not one better than this one habit. I'm going to come as close to God as I can this year. How many of you are willing? Nobody's looking around, and I don't want anybody looking around. How many of you are willing to make that kind of commitment to a habit? You can put your hands down if you lift them. That's awesome. Man, you make this commitment, and it's just between you and God. Nobody's going to hold you to it. This is between you and God. We're here to help each other, but you know what? And I'm telling you, your life will look completely different. Maybe you're here today and you coming close to God is beginning a relationship with Him and you never have done that. Or maybe you just have walked away from Him. Listen, God knows and He sees your heart. Have the conversation with Him. God, I'm making a commitment to you today. I want to become close to you. And not just I want to become close, I want to invest myself. I'm all in this relationship. I'm not going to have a divided loyalty with the world. I want to really invest myself in you. He hears your talk. He hears your conversation. So you talk to Him as we pray. Father, we come to you today, so grateful for what you've done in our lives this year. So grateful of the work you've done in our hearts and in our lives this year. Because even right now, as we look back at this year, we look back and we go, wow, we've come a long way personally. But Father, we want to add some habits and we want to bring these habits into our lives that are going to bring some change that allow you to bring change that you want into our lives. And this first one, Father, we want to come close to you, as close as we can get. We don't want to just play around. Father, I ask that you would help each person that's here today in their commitment, in this habit. There's going to be days where they're successful and days where they fail. But Father, it's the discipline. It's when we fail that we get back up and we keep going. We don't give up. So Father, help us. Help us to come as close as we can to you, that we might make you the shelter of our lives and we might allow you to work on us. Father, we depend upon your power, not our willpower. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.